This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Hello and welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about the fictional foods, the semi-fictional foods, of Steven Universe.
Yes. Which, you know, we love these fictional foods episodes.
Oh, so much.
And you can go check out the mini we've already done. But yes, I do love this show.
Oh, me too.
It's so sweet. I benched it a couple years ago, I think around the same time as I did Adventure Time. So that was like 2014.
Okay.
So I'm behind.
Yes. Yeah.
But I did love it. And recently I went to Dragon Con, this convention here in Atlanta, and one of my good friends, friend of hers, came dressed as Garnet.
Oh.
And it was an amazing Garnet.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a difficult series to costume many of the characters, because a lot of them are like really sci-fi fantasy based, it's very cartoony too. So you're like, how would I physically construct that in real life? It would not support the weight of itself. but absolutely, like, my friends and I have talked about costuming from that series, and seems like a lot. I don't have a vacuum mold, so I don't know.
Well, anybody out there, answer a call. Do you have a vacuum mold? I wonder if I can hunt down a picture of hers. Hers was really, really good.
Cool.
Yeah. And Lauren and I are very excited to talk about this. I did take a very scientific quiz.
Okay.
Before this, called Who Are You from Steven Universe Based on Your Food Preferences? And according to that, I am Peridot, which I think is my birthstone.
Okay.
It did make me feel kind of basic or maybe simple in my preferences, but a lot of the choices were fairly basic. Like, it was like pancake, waffle, bacon. That's not totally accurate, but essentially like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like coffee, tea, or orange juice. And like,
right.
Like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I also got Peridot, so I don't know. I don't know how accurate the quiz is, but I will say that absolutely Peridot is the character that I, like, over-associate with on the show. Like, shout out to my dear friend Cody, who introduced me to the show. Cody, formerly of giving me way too much beautiful information about Pokemon fame. Yeah. They introduced me to the series, and we'll be watching it together. And something, they're a lot like Lapis. So, like, we'll be watching the series together, and Peridot or Lapis will say something, and we'll turn to the other one and be like, Lauren, Cody, like, as though it's our fault that they said that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I liked Peridot a lot, and I can see Peridot in you. I don't know if I'm a Peridot.
Yeah,
but
I don't think you are, but
I did take another very scientific quiz right before this from BuzzFeed, and I got Steven.
Oh, that's a lot more. That's a lot more you. Yeah.
I think so. But I did love Peridot. Like, it was just one of those ones where I was like, I don't think that's right, but I do love this character, so I won't like sneeze at it.
Also, our coworker Holly Fry got to put together a few years ago a lovely short podcast series called Drawn: The Story of Animation. That was in collaboration with Cartoon Network, which is the channel that Steven Universe was hosted on. And Steven's creator, Rebecca Sugar, said a whole lot of very smart, very lovely things in that podcast. So go check that out if you have an interest in any of that.
Yes, absolutely. But I guess that brings us to our question.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Universe. What is it?
Well, Steven Universe is an animation-based media franchise about the life and adventures of this sweet, relatable kid by the name of Steven Universe and his family, Natural and Chosen, as he grows up. And Steven happens to be a half-human, half-gem-based alien life form who sometimes has to help that family save his town and his planet and beyond. From both their enemies and themselves. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was very excited to hear your description of this. So far, you're knocking out of the park. You're not letting me down.
Yeah, it's surreal and funny and introspective. And this very just dear, all ages science fiction fantasy piece that focuses on themes of acceptance and emotional maturity and, like, learning and growth, despite the world and the people in it being less than perfect. It's about working on it, you know? And it's like having a rollicking good time going to therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some pretty heavy stuff in there, for sure.
There is. Like, within this, like, hypothetically children's show for children, like, there's a lot of stuff that made me look at myself and kind of cry about it. So, mm-hmm. that, so cool. Good times. Highly recommend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This all started airing in 2013 as an animated TV series on Cartoon Network, aimed primarily at kids and or young adults, with each episode running about 11 minutes. It ran for 5 seasons with a total of 162 episodes, 160, 162, something right around there. Yeah, ran through early 2019. There's also a feature-length film that premiered later in 2019, mostly on TV. There was some limited theater appearances as well. And an epilogue series called Steven Universe Future, which ran for 20 episodes in late 2019 and early 2020. There have also been a number of like kids' books and trivia and art books, comics, video games, and soundtracks, because the show does have a strong musical element.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I have the theme song in my head right now. The show was created by Rebecca Sugar, who is a writer and cartoonist and composer and performer. They cut their teeth on Adventure Time with Cartoon Network early in that series production, like 2009-ish. You can see our whole episode on Adventure Time for more about that. And then, yeah, she pitched Steven. Rebecca Sugar came out as non-binary after the series aired, by the way. When it premiered, she was the first woman to helm a series solo for Cartoon Network. Now she's the first non-binary person, uses she, they pronouns, which is why I am using both. Anyway, the series kicks off with the basic and scare quotes, setup of this 13-year-old boy, Steven, who lives with his guardians, who are these three gemstone-based anthropomorphic aliens called the Crystal Gems. And they are on Earth to fight evil and help Steven learn how to control his gem-based powers. Steven's human dad, Greg Universe, lives mostly in a van and is also involved in Steven's daily life. Steven's mother was also a crystal gem, and she isn't, like, technically around anymore. Shades of her kind of live on in Steven's gem, but she basically died giving birth to him in a complicated way. It's an unconventional family unit. All right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is ostensibly a food show. Gems don't have to eat, though they can, but certainly the human characters and Steven do have to eat. And food is just a hyper-integral part of the series because the series is meant to be personal and relatable. And it can be very slice of life, like episode to episode, despite the fact that there are all these, like, weird epic action sequences and bizarre monsters and, like, they go to other planets and or dimensions sometimes. The food is both a grounding element and, like, a way of showcasing how weird this fictional universe can get. Like, on the one hand, the show's opening sequence features Greg setting up a beachside cookout. The title card in the first season has Steven eating a hot dog. On the other hand, within the first handful of episodes, like, you get this French fry costume that comes to life like a golem. It's partially made of French fries, and it forces people to eat French fries. They have to like, take it down, and it, like, profusely bleeds ketchup.
For anyone who hasn't seen this show, I'm just so happy for you right now.
So,
I'm
yeah.
eating up your confusion.
The series is mostly set in a small fictional town called Beach City. It has shades of, like, Northeastern Oceanside boardwalk towns. It has, like, an amusement park and several little restaurants, including Big Donut, which is a pastry and coffee and snack shop, Beach City Walk Fries, which specializes in French fries, Fish Stew Pizza, which is a pizza parlor that has fish options. Extra fishy options? Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Crab Shack, which is a slightly more upscale restaurant.
Ooh.
Definitely serves breadsticks. Don't know whether they're unlimited.
Oh.
Yeah.
Probably not if it's upscale.
You know? A lot of the recurring characters who become very close friends with Steven and his cohort throughout the series work in these shops and are shown producing some of this food. And, you know, right, like it is a series about the human experience. And so throughout, food is a fuel and a sustenance. It's also a pleasure and a comfort. It's also a social tool and a sharing of oneself and one's culture. It's also a livelihood and an economy and, like, a way to find purpose or to put purpose in your life. And it's also part of a greater ecology that we all live in. And that gets really funny because, like, a lot of the characters are gems. They are not from Earth. They don't have to eat. So you also get this outsider perspective of how food works and of how humans' relationships with food work. Just for example, those three main gems who are Steven's guardians, Amethyst, Pearl, and Garnet. You could make the argument that their characters are tropes of the id, the superego, and the ego. So Amethyst, being the id, will and does eat anything and everything and has these, like, hangry moments and, like, devours sentient pizza and, you know, like, eats literal garbage, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Pearl, the superego, despises consuming food. She thinks the whole process of digestion is the most disgusting thing she can possibly think of. And Garnet, as the ego, is like, you know, like, she will eat. She's willing to eat, but, like, doesn't really have a strong emotion about it, doesn't really overdo it, mostly does it as, like, a kind of social social placation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's, like, infinite stuff to unpack there.
Yeah.
About the series, though, like Adventure Time, it was storyboard-driven, which means that the artists were also the writers, which you can really see in, like, the tight collaboration among the visuals and the dialogue and the music to all tell the story together.
Yeah.
Rebecca Sugar has talked about the show becoming an increasingly personal project over the course of its life, about self-discovery and growth, really heavily influenced by everything that she went through. She was 23 years old when she pitched the series. That she then produced, that then got really big in a really short period of time. And she also started therapy, and she also came out as bisexual and then as non-binary. She has a little brother named Steven. She also talks about, you know, trying to take the constrictive tropes that she grew up seeing in kids' media and in animation, like Disney animation in particular, and trying to question them or invert them. Interestingly to me, the voice actor who plays Steven was only a couple years older than the character when the series started, like maybe 15 or 16. And so the show really lets the character and the actor and the audience all sort of grow up together.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my best friend's younger brothers, he told me that fact. And he writes Steven Universe fan fiction.
Oh.
Which I find incredibly adorable. And also, never would have guessed.
Huh.
Like, he's just not the type. And so I love that. I love that this show is kind of about, like, not judging or assuming based on type or, like, questioning stereotypes. And when he told me that, I was like,
oh,
that makes me so happy. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Well, what about the new drink?
Yeah, normally this is where I say don't eat media franchises, but I'm going to go ahead and say you do you. You do you on this one. You make your own decision. You work on it. You work on it with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like Steven and his friends.
Yes. Yes.
We do have some numbers for you.
A few, yeah. As of 2020, when Future was airing, the series had aired in 187 countries with an average audience of 1 million viewers per episode. It has a 100% critic rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh. Yes, it does.
Which makes me so happy. Heck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's been nominated for about 36 awards across the industry as an overall series and also in various categories for its art and sound and vocals. It won 8 of those awards, including, but not limited to, a James Tiptree Jr. Honor List Award for Rebecca Sugar, which is an award for speculative fiction that explores gender. An award for Best Vocal Ensemble from Behind the Voice Actor Awards, and a dang Peabody for Youth Programming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then bringing it back to food, over on the Tumblr, as I wrote, and I don't know why I put the, if I was trying to be ironic or not, can't remember.
Yeah, cool.
User Love Takes Work created every recipe from the show. And it's excellent.
Oh, it's so good. Okay, like I didn't double check, but I counted. I counted through real quick and counted 79 recipes. And yes, this is a fabulously fun project with a really hilarious list of caveats including like, okay, I'm not going to do recipes about stuff if it's only mentioned and not pictured. I'm not going to do recipes if it's pictured in the background and not featured. I'm not going to do recipes if it's like a non-food item that some monster eats or amethyst eats because it's furniture. Not putting together recipes for those. But yeah, 79 recipes.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, conservative, extremely conservative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, going through, we do have a list of some of the big food and drink items in here. And we had to limit ourselves.
Yeah, it could have gone on a lot longer. It's there. Like, people are eating in, I cannot remember an episode where food doesn't come up in some way.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into some of those examples. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, yes, like with many things we talk about in these fictional food segments episodes, many of these foods and drinks or variations of them exist in our real world. So you can tell like what the inspiration was, what the idea was behind said food or drink item. A lot of the branded objects in the show in particular have similar packaging to a real world product, like a generic margarine in a yellow tub.
Yeah, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of examples of that in there.
Yes. For example, one of my favorites is something called Beast, which is a brand of canned beverage similar in appearance to Monster energy drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my favorites,
Chaps.
Chaps.
Is that how you say it?
Chaps.
Yes. It's got a lot of A's in it, everybody. This is a brand of potato chips debuted in the episode Monster Buddies when Steven feeds them to Nephrite. And I'm not going to explain any of this. Again, I love the idea of people just listening confused.
Yeah, yeah. Just go with it. Anytime that you hear the name of a rock, you're talking about some kind of sentient creature.
Yeah. And you're just going to have to watch the show to learn anything else than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, Steven later uses these chips in a later episode to jog Nephrite's memory of him.
Oh.
Like, remember when I fed you those potatoes? Like, yeah. See how sweet and sad? They do have a couple of flavors, like a maximum BBQ and cheese with a Z. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they are featured in several episodes.
Oh, yeah. Many, many episodes, especially mm-hmm. in the background.
Yes. And then there are cheese balls. Which is a brand of cheese puffs sold in canisters that they also pop up in a lot of episodes, including Fusion Cuisine, which is one of those episodes that has a lot to do with food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When Steven uses them to decorate a cake, which is also a recurring theme of like putting salty snacks on sweet items, which I read like a couple of people were like, yeah, very similar to a child's palate. But I was kind of like, yes, but let's be real. A lot of us do that and enjoy that as adults.
Yeah.
Yes. Similar to a child's palate, I will allow.
Sure. Or similar to a child's experimentation at any rate. Because Steven does do a lot of experimenting with foods.
Yes, which speaking of, this is a big one that popped up a lot. Together Breakfast.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this was the name of the fourth episode of season one, so very early on. And was also the name of a breakfast that Steven attempts to make to share with everybody. And here's a quote I wanted to include.
Okay, yeah,
I can't do the voices, but...
That's... All right, cool.
So this is Steven. Everyone's out. Guess I'm making us breakfast. Pearl, Garnet, Amethyst, is anyone home? 1, 2, 3, wrap in. I guess they're all still out saving the world. Look at you. You're out of control. Pearl, Garnet, it's done. That thing's too good for me to eat alone. It's a... Together breakfast. Garnet, perfect. Check it out. It's not exactly healthy, but it's in a stack. So I guess you could say it's a balanced breakfast. You know, like I made us all breakfast. I thought we could eat together. Like best buds. Then Garnet says, I can't today. There's business to attend to inside the temple.
The whole episode is just him trying to get them all together to eat this breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cute. Mm-hmm. So this also shows up in a handful of other episodes mm-hmm. and serves as Garnet's wedding cake, which is adorable. and there's a strawberry on top in the regular one. But in this episode, it's replaced by these like little figurines of Ruby and Sapphire.
Who are the two getting married. Yeah. Or fusing, mm-hmm. as the case may be. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So based on the image from this episode and fan-created recipes, what Steven makes is essentially a stack of waffles mm-hmm. or pancakes.
No, it's definitely waffles, yeah.
Okay, some of the recipes had pancakes, but that might be a preference thing. So, okay, waffles smothered in chocolate sauce or maybe maple syrup. It looked like chocolate sauce to me, but everybody seemed to agree it was maple syrup. So, all right.
Okay.
Topped with a healthy swirl of whipped cream, topped with a strawberry, and finish with popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
So again, with the salty sweet kind of thing.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, sounds good.
Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah.
One bite, though, I think I'd be done. But that one bite would be delicious.
Oh, right.
Also, continuing along with traditionally breakfast items, there is the bagel sandwich, first seen in the episode Cheeseburger Backpack, obviously. And it pops up in a few episodes after that as well. It appears to be a sunny side up fried egg, a slice of cheese, and turkey bacon, or perhaps salmon, or perhaps Canadian bacon.
Okay, yeah.
Sandwiched between a split bagel, which sounds delicious too.
Oh, yeah. And Binging with Babish did a recipe for this one. you can look that up if you'd like to. Speaking of breakfast foods, there's a TV series within the series called Crying Breakfast Friends.
Okay.
And these are like semi-anthropomorphic breakfast foods that cry a lot, out of sadness and out of joy.
Aww. I don't remember that. That's great.
Yeah. It's a show that Steven is watching kind of a lot and like no one else gets it. But but they're all willing to watch it with him. And I think that actually it's a metaphor for Steven Universe itself.
That makes sense.
Like, why are they crying again? Anyway, there are other fictional brands in there though too.
Yes, including Guacola, which is an avocado soda that was handed out to attendees of a show by Sour Cream DJs, done by Sour Cream DJ in the episode Drop Beat Dad, which is a great episode title.
Drop Beat Dad?
Yeah, that's pretty funny. The packaging claims that it has the nutritional equivalent of 3 avocados. And like avocados, it has a bit of a mushy consistency.
Okay.
So almost everyone pours it out because they think it's gross. It is later revealed to be banned in 17 states and facing at least one lawsuit. Which I love.
Oh, heck.
Mm-hmm. And then a few random things. There's also Drink Up, which is like 7-Up. And durian juice that comes in a juice box.
Mm-hmm. Frequently featured durian juice. Also, tomato soup in a juice box shows up at one point.
Mm-hmm. And then there is something called Cookie Cats.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Cookie Cats are ice cream sandwiches in the shape of a cat's head. So it's 2 chocolate cookies with half strawberry and half vanilla ice cream sandwich between them. These first showed up in the episode Gym Glow and are Steven's favorite item at the Big Donut. And yeah, this is basically a donut-based snack and drink store that is frequented often.
Mm-hmm.
But over the course of that episode, these Cookie Cats were being replaced by a rival product, Lion Liquors.
Yeah,
competitor.
And this is, by the way, the first episode. This is the drama of Steven not being able to get his beloved Cookie Cats is the first scene of the first episode.
It's important, you
this
know?
This is where it starts.
Mm-hmm. And Cookie Cats do keep showing up throughout the series, mm-hmm. either as food. So, like, Steven's birthday cake is in the shape of a Cookie Cat in one of the seasons. And he later makes his own Cookie Cats for the gyms,
mm-hmm.
or in merchandise, like his Cookie Cat shaped alarm clock, which I think he has 2. I think we see 2 different ones, and also Cookie Cat shaped walkie talkies. Mm-hmm. So yes, their mascot Cookie Cat is on the pink packaging. It's pretty eye catching, the packaging, and the half and half nature of the ice cream is reflected on Cookie Cat's features. So okay. Like the eye, one of his eyes is like white, one is pink for the vanilla and the strawberry, you know. In one episode, Steven dreams that Cookie Cat goes evil and uses a spaceship to kill him.
No, no.
Sounds like a dream I would have, to be honest.
Oh dear. Heck.
Mm-hmm. So, according to the Crystal Gems, they went around stealing a bunch in this episode for him, for Steven, but Pearl admits that she went back and paid for all of the Cookie Cats,
so they were not stolen. Yeah.
However, Steven eats all of these Cookie Cats to get the energy to summon a shield to save the gems. So yeah, at the beginning of the episode, eating a sandwich and singing the theme song of this mascot, of this item, seemed to activate his gem. But in the end, it was just a coincidence. But he thought, like, oh, if I eat them, I'll get all this power. Of note, one of the song lyrics references that Cookie Cat is a refugee of an interstellar war.
Oh yes.
Okay. Similar to the gems, maybe.
Yeah.
In the Steven Universe video game Gym Bound, Cookie Cats restore Steven's energy and they restore harmony in the light series of the gym. So, like, you eat them and you get, like, this energy, this, like, harmony, which I love.
All right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, in a 2015 promotion for New York Comic Con, the fantasy food truck sold Cookie Cats, among other things, but Cookie Cats.
That's very cute. That's real good.
Yes, you can still find the menu online. It's pretty great. But I suppose we should talk about the competitor, Lion Liquors, for a minute. Steven, obviously not a fan. complaining, they don't even look like lions. They are sort of like ice cream popsicles. They're shaped lion-ish. Yeah. They remind me of like those Snoopy ice cream things I used to get as a kid. But
sure,
anyway.
Totally. Like a good humor truck looking thing. Sure.
Right, exactly. And they're made with this yellow ice cream. However, upon melting, they do take on a bit of a creepy vibe, I must say.
Yeah. And I will say that there is a bit of a creepy vibe sprinkled throughout this series. Like
yep.
Like powdered sugar on a donut. The series really does play with genre, kind of bouncing around from comedy to horror to action to everything else.
Drama.
Yeah. Yeah. And so much drama. Heck.
Yeah, like punch you in the heart drama. Yeah. Oh my God.
We love also, it.
I know, we love it. It's great. Also, I'm pretty sure the Lion Liquor mascot had his own kind of sad story arc himself. So, you know, there's something for everybody. there's also Colonel's classic creamed corn, which by name alone I had to include.
Colonel, only in one episode.
It's a can of creamed corn with this mascot, Colonel, saying in a speech bubble, "It's creamtastic."
Yeah, dude.
I mean, that's great.
Art.
Oh, speaking of, this one. Oh my gosh. Clams, peanut butter, and a side of cut grass. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dish.
Mm-hmm. You heard it correctly. This dish only appeared in one episode two when an unaligned character named Bluebird Azurite makes it to impress Steven. And Steven, being Steven, eats it at Bluebird's request. As pointed out on the fan wiki, all of these foods are known allergens, which I did not pick up on.
I didn't pick up on either, but she's definitely trying to kill him. So it tracks. So it tracks. Yeah.
I love it. Then there's the dog nut, which is an item sold at the Big Donut. And it is a hot dog that is placed through the holes of three frosted donuts. And then that is all topped with some mustard.
Oof.
Dog nut. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something I can see in our real world for sure.
I am positive someone has done this and done it gloriously.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then there are fire salts. Okay, so fire salt is this mysterious magical seasoning. No one seems to be too sure what's in it. To me, it seems sort of like a itching powder, and that it's used in these pranks in the episode Joking Victim, or like maybe like hot peppery spice, like the equivalent of putting that on someone's food unexpectedly or so they don't know, because
okay,
it causes this burning sensation, like literally when one character ate an entire tube of this shimmery red salt, he breathed fire and he had to stick his head in a tub of ice cream to try to cool himself down.
yeah like you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's right. Like, so that's where, yeah, some of the weird magic kind of stuff comes in. Another example of that is in the Watermelon Stevens. Okay, so one of Stevens' gem-based powers is that his spit is, like, kind of magical. so during this one episode, he accidentally creates a patch of watermelons and then an army of watermelons that are Steven-shaped. After he, like, spits a whole barrage of seeds around and then leaves them overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he winds up eating one.
Of course.
Yeah. And throughout the series, a few other vegetables also become sentient or semi-sentient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Obviously. And then we have to talk about some fries.
Oh, goodness, we do.
Mm-hmm, because we have a couple of French fry dishes.
Yeah. As we mentioned earlier, a fry shop is one of the small businesses in Beach City. It is run by the Fryman family. Mm-hmm.
And one thing Steven orders there are these things called fry bits, which are presumably the smaller leftover bits of fries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They are usually free, but we see Steven offering to purchase them.
Uh-huh. It also turns out that Mr. Fryman is in this like long running feud or uneasy peace with neighboring restaurant Fish Stew Pizza. In one episode, that peace is broken. The fry shop offers pizza bits. The pizza shop offers fries. Their kids and Steven have to broker a renewed treaty, which which involves the creation of a couple of really stunningly beautiful dishes, including a pizza that's served on a bagel.
Yep.
Which allows you to have pizza anytime.
Genius.
Yeah.
And also fantastic fries, which are like sort of these fancy fries filled with ketchup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go. Oh, and speaking of ketchup, there's a brand on the show called Heinz, H-Y-N-E-S, which is named after the show's lead character designer, Danny Heinz.
Aw.
Yeah. And this character named Garbanzo, which is fun, fakes his own death with Heinz in the episode Onion Gang, obviously using it as like a blood
There's at least a couple instances of using ketchup as a fake blood substitute. I know that Sadie Miller in her Sadie Killer phase also uses some ketchup blood effects. Yeah. And then I guess low-key speaking of Sadie, I wanted to talk about the ube roll cake because this is one of the no pun intended, sweetest food moments on the show that I remember is when one of the townspeople named Lars, who starts out working in the donut shop, it turns out that he loves baking. He's not just working there because it's a job. Like he bakes a pumpkin cake shaped like a pumpkin, and an ube roll, like a sponge cake made with ube, which is a sweet purple yam spread with cream filling and then shaped into a log like roll, like a Yule log. Yeah. And it really goes into Lars's feelings about this recipe, which is a family recipe, and about baking, because he's really self-critical and he's afraid that him liking baking will make him seem uncool. And it's something that he really struggles with, even though Steven and the aforementioned Sadie, who's Lars' coworker, both like really encourage him and say that he's great at it. But he's kind of just still working through it.
Yeah.
You know,
just like all of us.
Just like all of us.
Yeah. Well, clearly we highly recommend it.
I really hope that. That we described, that we gave you enough to understand vaguely what we were talking about at all.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that's really, once you watch it, I don't think, there's no difficulty picking it up.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. It's
but
not.
Describing it.
Yeah. It's not like a challenging show to watch. It's very light and fluffy. But except for all those gut punches
except
we keep talking
not,
about.
But generally, the overall vibe is like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we recommend it. And we limited ourselves. So if there's anything we didn't talk about that you want us to talk about, let us know. If you have any recipes, if you've done any parties and made these recipes.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Definitely let us know. Oh, and I did want to put in here, I forgot to write in a note into the outline. But, okay, so the crew on Steven Universe had, while the series was airing, a Tumblr blog called The Crewniverse. and they would have, little get-togethers for... When all the episodes came out, and they would frequently make either dishes from the show or artistic interpretations of the characters in Rice Krispie treat form or what have you. Really, really lovely stuff from a bunch of really creative, deeply weird people. it's so delightful. Genuinely recommend checking out the Crewniverse blog and also the other one, the one with all the recipes. Love Takes Work. Yeah.
Yes. And, we did it in Bob's Burgers and it was a very fun time. If you want to write in and let us know what character you think we are.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
I'm what character you are.
Yeah.
That would also be great.
Please do. Goodness. Okay. Right. We do have some listener mail for you ready right now, though. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
Listener Mail.
I do get there's a song that I won an award, didn't it? There's a like well-known song that's in it in the series, and it gets stuck in my head all the time, totally randomly. There's no way we could have done it. It's like when... They're like fusing together. It's got that like no one knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think I know which one you're talking about. But there's a bunch of really good songs in it. Definitely when Cody and I are down, like we'll just kind of like put on songs from it and like shout along pretty off key, which is yeah.
Excellent.
It's good. It's really good.
So good. Kirsten wrote, being gluten-free living in Miami, arepas have become a beloved dietary staple of mine. I was introduced to Venezuelan-style arepas first through popular food trucks and an awesome local place called Doggies, which has the iconic yellow packages of harina pan stacked on open shelves around the restaurant as part of the decor. My favorite fillings for a loaded Venezuelan arepa are queso de mano, black beans, sweet plantains, and avocado. You guys were not kidding about the cravings induced by the episode.
Nope.
I've also come to learn about some of the regional differences in popular types of Colombian arepas. I work for a Colombian-owned company and have traveled to Medellin, or perhaps Medellin. Hope I didn't totally mess that up, for work where I was delighted to find a little arepita about the size of an Oreo served with pretty much every plate at every meal. They also have an amazing breakfast specialty called arepa de choclo con queso, a sweet corn arepa made with a mix of cornmeal and blended whole sweet corn kernels served with tons of delicious salty cheese. Both of these are popular in Paisa regional cuisine in the mountainous interior of the country. On a separate trip to Colombia, my husband and I went to Cartagena, which is on the Caribbean coast and had a totally different culinary scene.
The arepa de huevo that you mentioned in the episode is the local specialty in Cartagena. They were everywhere, from street vendors serving them up late night outside of bars to the breakfast menus at high-end historic hotels. Cartagena is an amazing food city. So much fresh seafood and tropical fruit. But I digress. Anyways, I've included pictures of some favorite arepas and now I have to go make some for lunch. Oh, jealous. So jealous of all of it.
Yes. Oh, all of that sounds so good.
Oh my gosh. I have not gotten an arepa since we did that episode, but I want one of every single one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Oh. Heck, I'm hungry now. But thank you. Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yes. Pictures.
We asked and you answered.
You did indeed. You did indeed. You've opened my mind to some options. And also, I apologize if I'm stumbling through the Spanish, but you know, give it a old savor try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, heck. Speaking of old savor tries on pronunciation. Okay, Hannah wrote, I'm from the U.S., but I'm currently a master's student in Germany. So when I heard your non-alcoholic beer episode from a couple months ago, I wanted to chime in. Non-alcoholic or alcohol-free beer is pretty popular in Germany, to the point where they were the main sponsor of the triathlon I participated in this summer. Ooh, good for you. Beer brands are also pretty regional here. When I lived in Hamburg, Astra is one of the big local brands, and they're known for their crazy ad campaigns. I thought this particular billboard I saw was worth sharing. It's for a non-alcoholic beer with pomegranate juice and caffeine for when you want an energy drink but also want the taste of beer. The article that picture is from says that the drink has guarana in it, which is supposedly an aphrodisiac. They say in parentheses, I can only hear that word in Lauren's voice now.
Mm-hmm.
usually Annie, but both of us, yes. Mm-hmm. The man stripping in the photo is supposed to be Aphrodieter. There you go. Yeah. They have plenty of other strange ad campaigns if you want to check them out. As a side note, I just listened to your Cloudberry episode. Last semester, I had a field course on the wetlands of northern Germany, and I gave a presentation on the plants found in peat bogs. It was a short presentation, so I didn't do too much research into cloudberries specifically, but now I know we would have been super lucky to see them out in the field. But we did come across sundew, which is a carnivorous plant, so that was pretty exciting too.
Yeah.
Ah! Oh, I love a carnivorous plant. So good.
Sundew is such an innocuous name for it, too.
Right?
I love that. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. And thank you for writing in about beer culture and especially non-alcoholic beer culture over in Germany.
Yes. The ad campaign in question is quite striking. The man is wearing kind of a wrestler's outfit and a blue bow tie.
Uh-huh.
And he's ripping his shirt open, and it's for beer, non-alcoholic beer. So
yeah,
I am in.
But
I know
right, it's in a very like 80s hair metal kind of vibe.
It is. Yes, it is. We're seeking out. I think. As are cloudberries, which I love how many of you have written in and said, like, I didn't realize they were such a big deal. And I almost had them or did have them and didn't realize.
Oh.
One day, Lauren, one day we'll get
some. Okay.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yes, I know so. That's what I say. But in the meantime, thanks to both of these listeners for writing to us. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@savorpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SavorPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Savor is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.